Welcome everyone to a new episode of the Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and inspired to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. So today I have with me my very loud email, and I also have with me Karen K. Smith. All right, can you introduce yourself to us, Karen?
Sure, I am Karen Smith, but I do use my middle name, K. So matter of fact, I grew up being called Karen K. So if someone calls and says, is Karen K there? Then my whole family knows it's somebody from my high school days.
Yeah.
And my brothers still call me Karen K. So I still am known as Karen K. But I am married. I have been married for, goodness, 25, 26 years. And I have three children. I have a 21-year-old, I have a 19-year-old, and I have a 10-year-old. Yes, my 10-year-old was a surprise. I cried for 2 weeks when I found out I was pregnant. But, you know, she's been the biggest blessing, and we know that God just knew we needed her. So anyway, I live in Alabama, in Huntsville, Alabama. I grew up in Arkansas, actually. But I've been in Alabama since 1997. So this is home. This is what my kids know. And I graduated with my bachelor's in elementary education, but I went straight to being a children's pastor, children's minister. That's how I used my education. And I did that until I had my two oldest ones. And when my second one was born, she had some health issues. And I was not making enough money to pay for childcare for both of my kids. And so that's just the thing about children's ministers. We don't make a lot of money. So yeah. Anyway, so I came home due to her health. Well, really just due to the fact that I was going to be spending my entire paycheck to pay someone else to keep my kids. And so I stayed home with my kids, and then I decided to homeschool my kids for health reasons. And so we started doing that. And 8 years ago, my husband was diagnosed with a very progressive form of MS. And so I got to thinking about, okay, well, one day I'm going to have to go to work. And so I had an opportunity come across my desk. And so I started teaching. I started using my elementary education degree, and I taught online. I did that for several years until my husband's health just got to be too much for me to handle both. So now I write, I blog at KarenKSmith.com. I write for A Wife Like Me. And that is a website dedicated to wives and strengthening our marriages and our relationship with God and our husbands. So that's what I spend my time doing, is writing or taking care of my family.
Well, that's great. We love having moms that are in, you know, have some older children. So you've got some wisdom and experience to share with us, but it's cool that you also have a younger child. So you're still in the midst of it.
I know. I tell her she keeps me young because all of my friends are now empty nesters. You know, they're becoming empty nesters, but I get to hang out with young moms because I have one so young. So I tell her she keeps me young.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so your oldest is a boy or a girl?
My oldest is a boy. Okay. And he's finishing up his junior year in college and is doing phenomenally well. He's bright and smart. And then my daughter, I have a daughter that's 19 that has some health issues. And so she is finishing up her freshman year in college and has done well. It's been a hard transition for her, a lot harder for her than it was for my son.
Okay.
But that was to be expected. We expected that. So, but you know, just sometimes launching our kids into the world is kind of hard.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It sure is.
But it's necessary. So.
Yeah. I guess we can't keep them at home forever, nor would we want to, right?
We really wouldn't. You know, my son stayed here, his freshman, he stayed at home and went to a university here locally. And I realized pretty soon that there was a reason our kids grow up and move out, because all of a sudden the things they do when they're little is great and cute. But then when they're 19 and 20, you're like, you're big enough to take the trash out if you see a trash bag sitting here. Or do you really have to leave your shoes out in the middle of the floor? So all these things that we allowed when they were little, as they got big, I'm like, I've about had enough of that. You need to take your stuff elsewhere.
That's right. We might kill them if they don't leave the home.
That's right. So I told my husband, I said, I understand why we grow up and our kids go off to college. I understand. I get it now.
So it's not something to dread. That's good to know.
It is not something to dread. It has been truly, I have enjoyed. Now, I'm partial to babies. I love babies. I think they're precious. And so I am a baby person, but I have enjoyed every stage of my kids' life, even the teenage years. And there's just something special. You know, I always say, and it still happens at my house, my 19-year-old lives here, and real often at 10:30 at night, and I'm getting ready to go to bed, and there she is on my bed. And I'm like, and my son did this too. And I would be like, do you see me? I am old. I am going to bed. But for them, it was their best time to talk. So I learned when they come to my room late at night, I just need to stay up because we have the best conversations. So each stage is different. Even at, since I've launched my oldest into the world to see him, you know, I said to somebody the other day, I'm really starting to see him transition. You know, when you're a young college kid, you're invincible, you know, and to start seeing him making adult decisions and acting wiser. And I'm like, hey, wait, I kind of like this. So really and truly, every stage is different, but no stage is bad.
Yeah, that's really good. Because I think that we can, as a young mom anyway, I looked at the teenage stage and thought, that's scary to me. I don't know how to parent a teenager. But as we grow, as they grow, we grow, right?
And that's right.
They're still our kids. Right. They don't go from being a 5-year-old to a 15-year-old in one night. So
that's right. That's right. You have plenty of years to, and it's a natural process. Now, I'm not going to say there's not seasons that I had to do a whole lot more praying than other seasons. There's just, you know, we just, I mean, you know, we do it for our toddlers. Dear Jesus, this is the terrible threes, you know, what are we do a lot of praying. And so there's always going to be seasons where you do a lot of praying. And I totally never will forget the first time I let my son drive with both of my girls in the car with him.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh my goodness, I had not thought about that. You know, I had been letting, he had been going and doing for a while, but we were somewhere and I was needing to do something with my husband. And he said, well, I can take the girls home. And I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. And then after I put them in the car, I'm like, wait a minute. All three of my kids are in the same vehicle.
And
I'm just like, oh, I mean, you know, so you immediately, I mean, it's humorous now, but immediately, I mean, I like start praying. We get in the car and I like start praying out loud. I'm like, God, the police protect them, you know? And so, you know, there are situations and there are seasons, you know, we may go through a smart mouth stage and we pray our kids through that. That's just what we do.
Yeah. So. Oh, I love that. That's a great attitude toward it. We just pray our kids through it. Through every stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are you're your child's biggest prayer warrior.
And it is, yes.
That is a blessing that you get that opportunity to pray them through life. And I really believe that. That's just a blessing.
So did that come fairly naturally for you, or did you have special resources that encouraged you and taught you how to do that? Or is that like, oh, you just naturally started praying?
I just naturally started praying for my kids. There are books out. I don't have any right here, I don't think. But, you know, there are books out, like there's How to Pray for Your Kids, Bible scriptures to pray over your kids. You can find some resources like that. Mm-hmm. But I really just journaled. I mean, I didn't really use any special book or anything. I just journaled and I just prayed because I just knew that I had the opportunity to be their prayer warrior. Mm. And so I remembered from my growing up years, and I think this might have been what stuck with me to help me know how important my prayer was, but I went on a mission trip to New Orleans, Louisiana, and we were down in a rough part of the town, and we were staying in a mission center. We would do Bible school, and then the afternoons would go to local parks. So we went the first day and I really had an eye-opening experience. It was, wow. It was like, it opened my eyes greatly. The second day We went, we drove to our park, but we couldn't find it. We drove and drove and drove and drove, and we could not make it to our park. And so the driver's like, I don't know what to, I mean, like, I have no clue. I can't find it. So we never made it on the second day. And I never will forget when I got home, my mom said, I just believe that was God because we were praying for your protection. And I just think God got y'all lost on the second day. And that had just, I think that experience stuck with me. We didn't have any problems making it again. It was just that one day. And so it was like, I think that experience really stuck with me as I get to pray for my children that they're going to grow up and they're going to want to follow Jesus and they're going to want to make right decisions. But I also get to pray for their safety and for their security. And I mean, just, yeah. And so I think for me, it was just a journaling and I would journal my prayers and in my seasons of just really, I mean, like I could show my son, this is when I got gray hair right here. It's written right here in my prayer journal. Yeah. I had to do a lot of praying for you, you know? So I mean, we can only do so much. And especially as our kids get older, we have a little bit, when our kids are toddlers, you know, we have the ability to pick them up and move them from something that's about to hurt them. Mm-hmm. But as they grow, we don't always have that opportunity, nor do we want to take it because we want our kids to learn those hard lessons. So sometimes it is learning to be their biggest support or their biggest encouragement. You know, even with my 10-year-old, she's a gymnast. And I told her when she got really big into gymnastics, I said, Chrisanne, I have never raised an athlete before. My son is a musician. My oldest daughter is an artist. And so you're my athlete. And I don't know how to raise. I don't know how to do that. You know, that's a new experience for me. And so, you know, I would see things. I would watch her and I would see things and I would have this, oh, I'm going to say something to her. You know, do I correct her? And then one day God just said, your job is to be her cheerleader. Mm. Your job is to be her biggest cheerleader. Sorry. So that's what I've started doing. And I'm there for her. If she gets in the car and she's crying because she's had a bad day, I get to be her cheerleader. I get to be her encourager. So that's kind of the approach that I've taken with my kids as they've walked through hard times. I just am going to be your biggest encourager and your biggest support and your biggest prayer warrior. And to this day, my son will text me and he'll say, Mom, I have a test today. And I'll say, okay, I'll pray for you. But he knows because I have developed that in him. You know, early on, I would say, I'll pray for you today. I know you have a test or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So I trained my kids to know that Mom is praying for them and that they can reach out to me and share their prayer requests. And so they do. Now it's a text message a lot of times. It's like, hey, Mom. Da, da, da. And I'm like, I'm on it. You got it. You know?
That is so cool.
Yeah. And then as they get older, I started praying for their dating relationships and, you know, that those would be honoring to God and, you know, and had the conversation. I can't make all your decisions for you. You get to make your decisions. Here's what I hope you make. Here's the decision I hope you make. But understanding that whatever happened, I'm still going to love you, you know? And so just really, yeah, I just want to be their encourager and their prayer warrior.
I love that. I was writing that down there that we are, that's our job as moms, to be their prayer warrior, their chief prayer warrior, to be their encourager. That's so Absolutely. Beautiful. And is a little bit less stress because it means that, you know, it doesn't all rest on us. The decisions they make are not our fault or we didn't cause them, whether good or bad.
Because as moms, we can get down on ourselves, especially in those childhood years as we start approaching those teen years. A lot of our identity gets caught up in how our children behave, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
But in reality, we have to understand from the time our kids are about 3 on, guess what? They get to start making their own decisions and about things, and their decisions gradually get to be more important decisions. But at 3, we will start saying, do you want to wear this or this? You know, we start giving them that power to decide. And so, you know, we go from, do you want to wear this or this, to what are you going to do with your life? We just grow with our kids. You know, I think it would be hard. I think about people who adopt that maybe bring a 10-year-old into their home and they've never had, you know, I think that would be a little hard. And I have a friend that has done that. And I'm like, wow, I'm like really impressed. Yeah. I think that would be hard. But for us that are mothering, and we just mother them along. And as they grow and change, we grow and change. And it's not weird or awkward.
It's true. Most of the time anyway. Unless we make it weird or awkward. I just wanted to circle back around for a minute because you've talked a few times about your prayer journal. So is that something that you did like every day, you had a routine for it, or is it something you just picked it up when you really felt a need? Or tell us about that.
I did not prayer journal every day. My life does not allow that. I wished it did, but as you know, when we have 5-year-olds and I had 2 that were 23 months apart, and you know, sometimes life didn't allow for that. But I do journal periodically. I still do that. It's not an everyday thing, but especially if my heart is not at rest. If there is something that is bothering my heart, that is a way that I can put my heart before Jesus. And it's a place where I can go and I can just say, this is, my heart's not settled. It's uncertain. It's insecure. It's bothered. I don't know what to do with it, God. I just don't know. What do you have to say to me? What can you speak into me? What can you speak into this situation? It's not a time, my journal is not a place where I dictate to God what I want him to do. It's a place where I go when I'm like, I don't know, my 10-year-old has a horrible attitude and I'm doing the best I can, but I don't know what else to do, God. And so please speak into this. So that's kind of what my prayer journal is. It's just a place for me to pour my heart out to God and to let him speak. It gives me that time. And sometimes I'll go back. So if I recognize, oh my goodness, my 10-year-old, he's been really nice the last couple of days, you know, sometimes I'll go back and I'll document where I've written some of those prayers. I'll write, oh, God answered this, or this is what God said to me. Being older, I have been caregiving to my parents. And so, you know, I just really struggled with some things in that role. And, you know, to pray about that and go, what does that look like? And then to go back and go, here's what God said. God just said, love your parents well. That's all you have to do. You know, just love your parents well, you know? And so that's begin what I would start praying. Okay, God, help me love my parents well. So, you know, just, it's just a place for me to give my concerns over to him and then give him opportunity to speak into me. And then to document that, not always, but most of the time I try to document, what has God said about this? What is he teaching me? What is he saying to me? How is he working?
I love that. I love, first of all, that it's not every day and you're already seeing the fruit of that in your child's life. So it doesn't have to be every day this like set in stone, I must do this or God's not going to be with me practice. It's, you know, God is with us no matter what, and he invites us, but it's not that we have to be there every day. He doesn't make those kind of rules.
Right.
And also that it kind of has melded your relationship with God with your kids' relationship with God and your kids' relationship with you. That's very
absolutely
cool. As you're praying for them and you're telling them that you're praying for them. I actually did this. I'm sure I've told my kids before that I pray for them, but I had my journal out this morning. I just use a one from Million Praying Moms. It's like a verse a day and you pray them over your kids. And I was just telling them this morning, you know, mommy was real cranky this morning and I just needed to get with God and pray for myself and pray for you. And I said, look, these are like all prayers for you. And they're like, really? So I guess we're just starting the process that you've been doing for a long time.
Absolutely. And it's important. And, you know, and sometimes as my kids began to become children and older, I would, you know, sometimes I would share, I would say, I don't know how to parent well in this particular situation. I don't know. I mean, because that was the reality of the situation. I don't have all the answers. Right. No mom has all the answers, but as we would encounter things, sometimes I would be very honest and I would say, I really don't know how to parent you right now. So I'm just praying that God will show me how to parent. He'll show you how to walk in this place. He'll show us together how to get through these things. You know, even right now, last night, I was praying with my, and we pray with our kids too. Like, I didn't just pray for them. We prayed with them.
Yeah.
And until they're quite old, teenagers probably, we would go into their room and pray with them every night. So last night, you know, given the situation, we were praying, and I just said, God, I've never done a coronavirus before.
Me neither.
I've never experienced anything like this. God, I don't know what to expect. I don't know, but God, I know that you're in control. And I know that this is an opportunity that we get to trust you. So we just bring our fears to you, whether, you know, because we had had a conversation about who would get sick, who wouldn't get sick. And because my husband is disabled, he obviously is at great risk. And we're not going to avoid that fact. We're going to admit that fact. And my 10-year-old understood that fact a long time before we talked about it. And so, you know, just to say, this is a time, I don't know how to do this, you know, but we're going to figure it out together. We're in it together. And so there's been plenty of times that I have said to my kids, I don't know how to do this, but God does. And so that's where we're going. And I just think that's the reality.
I love that. It's beautiful. So as a children's pastor, I'm sure that there were some things that you learned while doing ministry that you probably brought home with you. Were there specific things that you helped your kids connect with? Oh, sorry. What am I trying to say? Were there specific things that were kind of children's ministry-ish that helped you connect your kids with God? Or like, did you find yourself doing lots of like little object lessons or stuff at home? Or did you mostly just pray with them and read the Bible? Or
actually, we didn't do a lot of object lessons. We did have we did have family night when my older kids were younger. Family life, I believe it was family life. They put out some family night books, so we did do that probably about once a month with our older kids. Mm-hmm. My younger one doesn't get that. I am always more of a teach in the moment. I just always look for those real life moments to teach in, you know, and to just once again coming beside our kids and being their cheerleader, but also being able to point out and to teach in that place, not in that time, because in a time of distress, our kids need us to comfort them, to encourage them, to love them. It's later we can go back and we can look at that situation and go, you know, I'm really sad you had to walk through that, but can we talk about that? Can we think through that? How could that have been done differently? Or even with my little ones, I call it a do-over. I would say, can you try that again? Because that probably wasn't really respectful. So could you just take a do-over and do that again? You know, just even when they were little, to just give them that opportunity to recognize, change their action. And so my 10-year-old, she hates it because every once in a while I still will say, would you take a do-over? It works great when they're little, but as they get bigger, they become a little bit resistant to that. Mm-hmm. Just because then that causes them to have to acknowledge I was wrong. And we go through these stages where we don't like to admit we're wrong. And so that's hard. So when I say to my 10-year-old, would you take a do-over, please?
Oh, that face right there. I was like,
you know, and so it's just like, oh my goodness, you know, but I think it really helps. I think it's helped my kids learn, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. We get to learn from them. What can we do differently? How can we do things differently? And like I said, in the moment when our kids are really upset, that's not always the best time to evaluate their situation. But later, after we've kind of processed that emotionally, then we can come back to it logistically and say, all right, let's talk through this. How could that have been done differently? Who could have responded differently? It might not always be that your child needs to be the one to respond differently, but it might be. And so just learning to be able to be a safe place for your kids to talk and not always jump to conclusions. And that's a hard one for us moms, is I think we jump to conclusions a lot. And yeah, sometimes we're not correct in our conclusions. And for me, I always expected more of my kids than I expected of anyone else's kids. So I would always expect the worst from them, but I had to learn that doesn't always bless them. Mm-hmm. And so I need to expect the best from my kids, that they are making the best decisions, and treat them like that way. And then as we process it, then we might see, oh, that could have probably been handled a little bit differently. So I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been enjoying your parenting wisdom so much here. I just remembered, oh yeah, we were going to talk about the fruit of the spirit.
The fruit of the spirit.
That's right. Yes. Tell me, how have you been growing in the fruit of the spirit recently?
In the fruit of the spirit. Well, you know, the one thing that I like to say about the fruit of the spirit is we don't grow it. Mm-hmm. And I think that we oftentimes, as moms, we can get down on ourselves because we're not patient with our kids and we're not always happy, and happiness is not a fruit of the spirit, but sometimes we like to put it in there, you know? And so, but I think the important thing to know is that throughout our life, if we're walking with God, He's continually growing those fruits in us. And it's a continual process, and He does it. We don't do it.
Right.
We don't grow it. God grows it in our heart. So I think, I know I was telling you that I really had to grow in patience. Mm-hmm. That was in goodness. I think we talked about those two things and just how I could grow in those places. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to walk through some troubled waters and we get to experience that trait from other people, or we see that trait in other people demonstrated, and then we're like, ah, we have our aha moments. Right. But unfortunately, we oftentimes don't learn those traits just like that. And it's just not like God says, ah, you need a little bit of patience today, I'm going to give it to you.
I know. It's like, no, I'm going to make your child really irritating so that you can grow in patience.
That is exactly right. You are exactly right. So actually, I didn't know that He says, I'm going to make your child really grumpy today. I think that's just our children's
doing that themselves. Yeah.
Human nature to do that. But I think He uses that to grow our patience.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
But that, I would say those were some of the things, you know, and I guess if I would just share the story about goodness, I shared that my husband was diagnosed 8 years ago with the progressive MS. And we went through a season, and I'm going to give you just a glimpse. My husband took chemo for his MS to try to slow it down. So we were trying to reset his immune system. And then he developed pulmonary embolisms a few months after that. And then we changed chemos and we did an experimental chemo, which was like experimental, and we just didn't know. I left and my kids knew I might not bring their dad back home. I mean, they knew that. And while we were there getting chemo, I got a phone call that my daughter had head lice of all things.
Oh,
I was like, you're serious. And you know, and so I do bring my husband home, and he's very sick, and I've got head lice. And so I look at my teenagers at the time. I said, can I look at y'all's heads? They had head lice. I'm like, so they all three had head lice. My son was sick. He had a fever. I'm like, you know, I'm like, God, can I just take a breath for a minute? Can I just breathe for 1 second? That would be nice. But, you know, there were people who stepped into my life that demonstrated to me His goodness. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
there were
absolutely.
People that came into my life. There were people that came to my house, and went, my girl's hair is much longer than mine and much thicker than mine. They helped me go through hair. I mean, they had to wear a mask because my husband was like deathly ill. And we would wear masks and we would go through hair. I had people that would bring food to my house. I had people that would come get my laundry. Literally, they would walk in my house and say, give me your laundry. It was just the life that I had to live for a season. And I didn't like it one bit. I hated it.
Well, at least you're honest about it. Nobody likes it.
Nobody likes that. But what that did was that grew me to see his goodness that he's displayed through other people. And then what does that cause me to do? It causes me to turn around. And now I have learned that trait. And I have a lot more goodness, a lot more of God's goodness to offer people now than I did 4 years ago. Because of what God has brought me through, what he's grown me through, what I have experienced, what I have seen. I mean, he works through people. He works through you. He works through us. So that's how I think I've grown a lot in that place, is to just see him work in my life through other people, to talk to me about his goodness, and then to say, this is part of me that I get to give to you, and you get to use it. And so I think that's part about all of the fruits of the Spirit, is they're really his traits. They define who he is. And yes, we get to demonstrate that. And sometimes some things come naturally to us. I have met some of the most patient moms in the world, and I'm like, seriously? Do you like
Jesus is strong with this one?
Yeah, I'm like, seriously, you know. And then I said something to a friend one day. I said, do your children ever fuss? And she had like six kids, and they always sit in a row in church, six or seven kids, typically behaved. Like, I mean, they just always had this appearance. And so one day I said something to her, and she said, oh, honey, I got a rule. Only one kid can cry at a time, and the baby gets precedence. And then she's like, come sit right behind me. And you'll see that my kids are not perfect. But, you know, some people just give that appearance. Yeah. And so, you know, but I think in real life, some people just have their personality allows them to be more kind or patient, or, you know, demonstrate goodness to people. It just comes a little bit more naturally. Sharing goodness with people didn't really come naturally to me. It's something that God really has built in me through what I've walked through in life. And patience is one of those things that just, I have to work on that. I'll be really honest. I'm this mom that goes, I have told you this 3 times. I shouldn't have to tell you again. I don't know why I'm repeating myself. You know, I would not consider myself a patient mother. And I'm like, we've already cried about that once. We've dealt with that. We're not going back to that. Yeah. We're not crying about that again. But in reality, I really learned that I have to be patient in those situations, and that my kids might need to cry about something more than one time.
True.
And that's okay. And I had to learn that. And I still have to work on that. I mean, God has convicted me of that. And through counseling and things like that, I have learned a little bit more about children and how they operate and in responding to their emotional needs, not just their physical needs, but their emotional needs. And so, but, you know, for a long time, I'm like, we've already cried about that. Let's not cry about that again, you know, because that's how I like to do my life.
Right.
Because it's hard. It's hard to experience emotion. And the fact is, I need to cry about things more than once. I don't need to say, you already cried about that once, don't cry about it again. No, we need to feel our emotions and allow them to happen, because that makes for healthier individuals when we know how to process our emotions. And so that's an area that I have really had to grow in patience. And I mean, God taught me that once again through other people, through things that I read about working with kids. But it's something that I, to this day, still know I have to work on, because it is not my natural response.
So God is growing the fruit of patience in you.
He absolutely has and still is. I think he will always be growing that fruit in me. I don't think I will ever get there.
But you'll look back in 20 years and say, wow, have I grown?
Oh, well, yeah, even now, like I can, I can look, like, if I look back the last 5 years, I can see where I have grown in that. I've become much more tolerant of my children and their emotions and learning to sit with them and comfort, giving them comfort instead of trying to fix things. So I have grown, I mean, even in 5 years, I can see a huge growth that has happened because of things that I have learned or things that God has convicted me of. And really being attentive to my kids' emotions, God really had to convict me of that and to go, you're not giving your kids enough love and compassion. They need more love and compassion right now. And so for me to just know that he convicted me of that and then to start acting on that required a lot of growth in my level of patience.
Oh, okay. So Karen, we are almost out of time here. I really, really appreciated this conversation. I feel like I'm just like soaking in your wisdom.
Oh, good.
Can you tell us a little bit about where we can find you online? And you said that you contributed to a book that came out last year as well. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you can find me online. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. I can send you my links. And sure. So you can send those out. You can also get to me from my website, KarenKSmith.com. I think I've got links there, so you can get there.
Okay.
I write with a group of writers. We all met several years ago. We had a heart for wives. So we put out articles. We're on Facebook. We put them out. You can get an email from us, mm-hmm. awifelikeme.com. And so if you are a wife, I published a book last year called Dear Wife.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful? It's 10-minute invitations to practice connection with your husband.
Oh.
And so they're divided into a little short. Each of our contributors, or most of our contributors, participated. So you'll have invitations, and it'll just be on different things. Growing, it uses examples of Jesus and how he related to people, and then how we get the opportunity to relate to our Heavenly Father, but then to our husband. So you get to some reflection questions in the book. Then there's a section called Connect with the Father and Connect with your husband.
Oh,
so
wow.
For each invitation, there are those connection pieces. So it's a great, I love it, not because I wrote it, but because I think it's changed a lot of marriages and a lot of wives. And so, yes, we do a Facebook Live over at A Wife Like Me every week. Amanda Davison is our founder, and so she's there every week. We come in and out as contributors. We just come in and out at times for various things. I led a study. I led an online study of Dear Wife, actually. So I saw everybody every week. So, you know, we just do different things. And so you can find a lot of my writing there. And then just, yeah.
That's just fantastic.
That's really what I write about on my blog is I use my life. I actually started blogging when my husband was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And it started as a way for me to communicate medical facts. But God grew that into a ministry of letting other people see that faith and struggles exist together, because I used to think if I was a good Christian, when I walked through struggles, my faith wouldn't waver because I would know God's always in control. He's always working things for our good. And I could quote all of these scriptures. So I really struggled with that. So I've used a lot of our life situations to connect our faith and struggles together.
Wow.
And how we can have faith in the midst of struggles. Just, it's okay to struggle. It's okay for things not to be right.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Well, thank you for having me.